B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
Welcome to the Beer Run, part of the BS and Beer family, the only Saints podcast with a 2-drink minimum and takes as bad as the bugs in South Louisiana.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You gotta keep on your toes. What toes that is?
I'm the California Cajun. With me, as always, is my co-host and dear friend, Lil Dice. How you doing, brother?
What up, man? So you know how we do it on the Beer Run. We're gonna talk about some beer. All right. Sure. And we got a lot of stuff going on with the Saints, so we're going to hit on that.
This is a Saints podcast, and we finally have a bunch of Saints stuff to talk about.
We're probably going to end up using 2 downs on this stuff, okay? And
as a show about the Saints should probably do.
You know, and then we're going to top it off with a little discussion about Moon Knight, because hey, this is brand new, and we got to get into this thing. So, refs, get out there, spot the ball, and let's do it.
First down, Saints.
All right, man, let's talk some beer.
All right, what kind of fruits in your beer? Listen, is it banana or blackberry?
Listen, okay, this is from...
it is blackberry, isn't it?
Piney River Brewing Company in Missouri.
Okay.
It is black walnut, all right?
Black, it's a walnut beer?
That's right, black walnut.
Okay.
It's not a fruit. I tried this a couple days ago. I thought it was pretty good. It's only like 4.5%, you know. So it's light.
Okay. I should have done that. I'll go for the light one. I have here with me Carbach Brewing Company. I believe we're in Texas. Yeah, this is another Texas beer for some reason. I keep grabbing stuff from Texas. This is the Rodeo Clown Double IPA. And as nice and light and refreshing as yours probably is, this one is 85 IBUs and 9.5% alcohol because I make terrible decisions.
Okay.
How's your walnut beer?
You know, it's pretty nice, man. It's
okay.
It's to me, it tastes pretty light, man. And I can eat a bag of chips with this and be happy, you know?
Zap, preferably. let's see if this this aggressive ass beer sounds as nice as I'm hoping it tastes. Okay, all right. See how this goes. I will never sit on this podcast or in life in general and tell you that a beer is bad, because I don't believe in bad beer. There's only bad people and bad experiences. I will say this might not be for me.
Okay.
It is good for what it is. I think the malt may be a little bit heavy for my particular tastes. Anything that's 9.5% alcohol, you're tasting a little bit of the booze too.
Yeah.
Like is it? A barley wine is what, 13%? So you're feeling it a little bit just in drinking through it. There's definitely a crowd of folks who are going to be really excited about a really hoppy, really malty 9.5% beer. I might not be that guy, but having said that, it's not terrible.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So by the time we get to fourth down, this is going to be a very interesting show. Oh, that's strong.
Woo. Second down.
Let's get into some Saints news, because we dropped the beer chaser because the Saints made this huge trade to kind of move up in the draft. They obtained the number 16 pick and the number 19 pick, and they swapped the 7th for 6th. All this year, and they gave up a future first, a future second, and they gave up third this year. So, I mean, to me, it says we like a lot of guys in this draft, and we're trying to get multiple starters in the first round to plug some holes where we can't plug them with free agents. That's what I think is going on.
Or does it mean that they like exactly one guy in this draft and they just bought up a bunch of capital to trade up and go get that one guy? And that's the thing. We don't know yet. This is such a weird move that if you want to fill a bunch of holes, you got 4 picks in the first 3 rounds. You got a lot of capital. You got a lot of ammunition. Yes. Or if you have one guy that you really think changes your team and he's in the top five, six, whatever it is, you might potentially go up and get him now. So it's aggressive. It's crazy. I have no idea what it means.
So usually in that scenario, you're being really aggressive for a pass rusher
or a quarterback.
So if we're being aggressive, who do you think it would be being aggressive for?
I mean, you look at this roster, it's got to be quarterback, right? Okay. I mean, I guess maybe if they think that one of their top offensive tackles, I know they don't sell jerseys, whatever. We talked about this on the other show. If they think that there's a dominant future Pro Bowler tackle and they don't think that he's going to be there at 16 and 19 or whatever it is, I could see moving up to go get him. I mean, there are those guys that, you know, offensive tackles go 1-2 all the time.
Yeah,
I just don't know. It kind of looks like, you know, we're doing all the mock drafts. They don't mean anything. They're just kind of shots in the dark. But it looks like a lot of the best tackles are going to be there 15, 16 range anyway. So if you're going to, if you get all this capital and you trade, you know, 3-4 picks to get into that 5-6, you know, range, it's probably not for one of them. I don't know if any of these quarterbacks are going to be that high either. I mean, and we're loaded at defensive end. There's right. there's no way in my mind that we're blowing that kind of capital for another pass rusher. that would blow my mind. I would lose my damn mind.
Would be insane, man.
I would need about six more of these double IPA rodeo clowns.
let's talk about some prospects, because I mean, an offensive tackle, that is. Because
okay.
I would think, I mean, well, okay, this is according to Walter Football, okay? They're about...
He's got football in his name, so you know he knows what he's talking about.
He's legit, for sure.
Okay? Has to be.
So there's about six guys that he ranks and projects within the first two rounds of the draft. I know for sure your favorite guy is Trevor Penny, am I right?
Have I mentioned him before? Is that something I slipped my affinity for him?
Maybe once or twice.
See, I try to keep that close to the chest, so I'm surprised that came out.
So my question to you would be this. I also am looking through at this list, and I'm seeing two guys from the SEC, and I'm seeing one guy from the Big Ten. So why is it?
Where's Central Michigan? There's a tackle from Central Michigan that I forget the name of. Is it Paramus, something like that? Who's really highly ranked. He's going to be a first round guy and probably a really good player.
Bernard Rahman, something like that.
That's what I'm talking about. He's a monster too. He's a brick wall in shoulder pads. Okay. And I would be very happy with him too. I know that especially as LSU fans, you know, our natural inclination is to think that the SEC is where the best football is played, because it is, because the best football is played in the SEC. Fight me. You know, so my general knowledge, okay, hey, whatever LSU or Alabama tackle is ranked in the top, whatever, go get him, right?
Exactly.
I make the mistake of watching film of Penning against admittedly inferior competition.
Yeah.
But he mauled them. He's a grizzly bear in shoulder pads. It's the best thing in the world. I love it so much.
Okay.
All right. So we're talking about what these picks are going to do. I think that if I think they need to go tackle and wide receiver in either order.
Okay.
As long as if they get a tackle and a wide receiver, I think that's the best case scenario.
Right.
But it's telling. If they go quarterback, then you know that going after Deshaun Watson wasn't just because he was really good. It's because they don't believe in Jameis Winston.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it is an absolute hammering a nail in the Jameis Winston starter in the NFL coffin. If they, you know, have all these holes to fill. They have gaping holes at receiver and tackle and safety, and they draft another quarterback. It's because they do not believe in Jameis Winston.
Well, he did mention in his press conference that there were some uncomfortable conversations he had with the, you know, the powers that be, right? And my guess is they told him exactly how they view him compared to other quarterbacks. And they should have told him, these are the things you need to work on to be better and have us view you better.
And sure.
I mean, I'm a hope. Well, he did mention the intermediate passing game during his press conference, and he was working on that.
And everyone watching Saints games last year noticed the intermediate passing game being a problem.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Just ask our good friend Dave, who wanted Trevor Siemian to be the quarterback of the future.
because
that's right, Dave. We listen. He can check it down to the running back really well. Let's get him out there.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
But hey, apparently it's not that easy.
Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston couldn't do that last year.
Right. So, but he was forced to do it because he was forced to practice on it, at least, because he couldn't pass the ball deep. He recovered from injury. And sure. So that forced him to practice that part of his game and everything. And I like that. And I like him knowing exactly where he stands with the organization. Now, he also mentioned in that same conversation, like, we should probably get some receivers. He talked about practicing with, guys who weren't going to be there, in anymore, because he was, playing to be the starter, competing to be the starter. So when you're doing that, you got to play with the bench, and make the most of it. And so now he's going in knowing he's the starter. We should be implementing things to help amplify his strengths and the strengths of the other guys that we have. So he should be in control of what this offense looks like.
And let's make no mistake about it. Mm-hmm. His strength is play action deep ball. He's one of the best play action quarterbacks in the world, and he's got an elite arm talent. One of the best arms that has ever played the game. And that's not hyperbole. One of the strongest, best deep ball passers that has ever played in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I swear, it sounds like I'm being crazy. I'm not. Pull up the stats and the film. I'm telling you, there are a few people who have ever played football who can throw a deep ball like Jameis Winston.
Yes.
Now, we don't really have – we have – our one deep threat is a 5'6" kick returner who's only been playing receiver for a couple of years because he was, exclusively a kick returner in college, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if you're thinking that he's your guy – you need a receiver. You need a speed receiver because Michael Thomas is the best possession receiver in football. Okay. He doesn't beat guys deep. He's not a deep cross guy. He's I'm going to get you a first down every damn time and you can't guard me at the goal line. That's what his job is. That's what he's great at, but he's not the guy to take the top off. And that's what Jameis Winston's good at. So if you're going to draft somebody who fits Michael Thomas, you're looking for a more accurate quarterback. If you're drafting someone to fits Jameis Winston, you're drafting a fast receiver. I think both of them, whichever direction you're going, you're either leaning towards your weapons to build around them or you're leaning towards your quarterback to build weapons around him. You still need a tackle because no matter what you're doing on offense, you need offensive line.
Got to have that.
Good Lord, this beer is strong.
And so bringing it back to offensive tackle, I mean, according to Walter Football, the number one offensive tackle comes out of Alabama and his name is Evan Neal. So are you in love with Evan Neal too?
He played at Alabama. So there was this immediate little twitch when watching this film. He's a bulldozer. He's incredibly physical. He's incredibly disciplined. He doesn't make dumb mistakes. You see him catching somebody holding around the neck, once he gets beaten, because he doesn't get beat anyway. He's got good footwork for a man his size. He's got good punch. He's an excellent tackle. If the Saints were able to get him, he's going to be a starter in this league for a decade. He's going to be a really good player. But he's one of those guys that he's not there at 16. You know what I mean? Penning might be because he's raw and he needs to develop, but a guy like him is ready to play in the NFL. And if you want to go get him, you're trading more than a couple of picks to go up and get him.
Yeah. Okay. I do see they have a guy from Ohio State listed.
We do love our Ohio State players.
Yes, exactly. But kind of reading up on him, they was like, he's more of a right tackle. So I don't think that will be the guy we're trying to get.
Yeah, but the last time we drafted a right tackle to play left tackle was Andrus Peat, and now he's a guard. Not that there's anything wrong with guard. It's just a different position.
Yeah. So, but with this list, I mean, I can only see six prospects that they deem worthy of at least a second round pick. So it does show you there's a shortage out there. And if you want a tackle, you're probably gonna have to grab them in that first round if you want one. That's considering if we are in love with these guys, you know.
So would you agree then that you can get a receiver who's going to play in round two, but you need to get a tackle in round one?
I would agree with that.
Because we're a unique situation. That, usually when you have two firsts like this, you've sold everything else. You don't have a second round pick. You don't have a third round pick. We have both of those this year. We have two firsts, a second, and a third still.
Yes.
So if you go after a quarterback and a tackle, which I think is what's going to happen, if you go after a quarterback and a tackle in the first round, you can still get a really good receiver in that second round. Let's not forget, Michael Thomas is a second round guy.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you got a third round pick. And if you go running back there, Alvin Kamara was a third round pick and running back. I'm excited. You know, I'm just saying this is going to be better than 2017 draft. It's clear.
Yes.
It's obvious to me. As Dave would say, it's obvious.
I would really hope that that it's exactly what I'm thinking, that they love multiple people in this draft, and that's why we wanted to obtain two first round picks. And these guys, they're going to actually be right, and these guys are going to come in and be starters, contributors, and help boost us to being a playoff contender. Because I can tell you, the Eagles fans, they love the trade. And they're thinking, yo, it's going to turn into a top 10 pick, this first round pick next year.
Look, they're Eagles fans. If they knew anything about football, they wouldn't be Eagles fans. Any Eagles fans listening to this, fight me. I'll put my address in the DMs.
So, yeah, they're expecting a top 10 pick. And so,
it's just
nonsense.
If you look at this division, if we made no moves, we're not finishing worse than second. I have no idea how anyone is expecting us to be a bottom tier franchise.
Right.
Yeah. If we miss on these draft picks or whatever, we might not be Super Bowl contenders off the bat, but there's no way you look at this roster and you think, oh, this is a bottom third team. This is a top 10 draft pick. It's ridiculous. It is a nonsensical take. And if you believe that, then you think the sky is falling and I want to fight you too.
I mean, look, we don't have the depth that we used to have. And last year proved that.
We had the most injuries in NFL history last year. How does that prove anything?
It is what it is, but
oh, for God's sake.
You're only as good as your depth. So
You know what you're also sometimes as good as? Your starters who are on the field.
But, you know, in the spring, we can believe no one's ever going to get hurt. And it's going to be
great. I didn't say nobody. I just said less people than the most ever.
But just wait till practice happens and somebody, ACL, Achilles.
Oh, there goes Davenport. Davenport's down. There goes Peyton Turner. He's down too.
Yeah.
Time to call up Jadeveon Clowney.
What's the over and under on Davenport's games played?
Oh, I would love to set an over under bet with Dave and the show. Oh, that would be so much fun. Let's get it. What do you think? Eight games? If he plays eight games, he probably goes to the Pro Bowl. He's a dominant player when he plays.
I mean, contract year.
He averaged a sack a game in games he played last year.
He's going to be motivated. He's going to be motivated.
He's a monster. He's just a monster with glass bones.
I'm going to set my over under at seven games.
Okay. I will take the over because I think he's going to play exactly eight games.
Okay.
And we're going to have a nice little conversation with Dave about this because I know we can't talk about Davenport without him popping up out of the woodwork. We're getting off topic. We're talking about draft picks right now.
Okay,
so you're hoping that we use those four picks to pick four players and not to have those four picks to move up and get one guy.
Right. I don't want to move up and stuff like that. I want guys in the building. That's what I want.
Okay. I, for once, we agree on this. I think that the best thing for us to do is bite the bullet with Jameis and put pieces around him.
Yes.
Because if he's really that bad, if he's really not the guy, then we'll have more draft picks later.
Third down for what?
Let's get into the free agent visits
And signings. We actually did get players too.
Exactly. Signings. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you, before we even get into it, I'm going to tell you guys what upset me the most. We signed a player named Taco. Taco Charlton. Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah.
We signed a guy named Taco on a Monday. You couldn't have waited a few hours and signed, made that official on Tuesday. We couldn't have had a damn Taco Tuesday signing. That would have been amazing.
Come on.
That wow. would have been all-time great moments, and we ruined it by hours.
Wow. Wow. That's
I'm heartbroken at how our organization does not commit to food puns the way that I would.
Yes. Yes. Mickey. Make this happen next time.
Mickey's dead to me. He's dead. I hope he does retire after this draft, like you said.
Oh yeah, we forgot about this move. The Saints released Blake Bortles.
Ooh. So that opens up. We had Blake Bortles still. No,
opens
yeah,
up a spot in a quarterback.
We're game. Joking, but yeah, no, the writing was very much on the wall for him. I think we talked about that on one of these shows a couple weeks ago. That you're not going to get rid of Book. He's mm-hmm. he's basically free. He's only going to get better. You signed a backup who's been a starter and is solid in Andy Dalton. You've clearly decided that Jameis Winston's your guy. What is Bortles doing there?
Right.
Well, as it turns out, not much of anything. He's asked for his release.
Yeah, he hit the transfer
because he didn't want to get cut in training camp, so he wanted to release instead.
Yeah, according to things I read. He wanted a shot at the number two job and did not see that.
Can you imagine being at a point in your career that you want a shot at the number two job? You don't want to, you're not even thinking about the number one anymore. You want a shot at two. That's like some Saints fans who just decided that Tom Brady's won the division and just wants to be in second place. Could you imagine that?
Listen, you just got to keep the checks coming. Keep these checks coming. You got kids in these braces.
No, I don't blame him for sure. I would take a backup money any day of the week.
Yes.
I play semi-pro. We don't get paid. We don't really get paid much. I will take any kind of a check for that.
And so, yeah. Also, the Honey Badger is visiting New Orleans, met with Mickey Loomis.
So what you're saying is nothing has happened, but we got to talk about it anyway.
This is Honey Badger Watch.
Honey Badger Watch 2022.
That's right. We're on Honey Badger Watch. All right, this is the next one that everybody in Hoodat Nation wants to get. All right, give us the Honey Badger or give us death.
Right, he just belongs here, doesn't he? I mean, all the stars have aligned. He fits a need. We need a safety. He's from here. He's a free agent right when we needed him. He was already in town. It's just everything aligned for him to be a Saint, and he's still going to end up on the Rams or the Browns or something like that.
I'm upset that he left the
building. It's never going to happen.
I'm upset he left the building without signing the contract.
Well, from what they said, it was just casual. They were just kind of chatting football, just catching up, which, I mean, this was the first team he's actually had a meet with. So even if we were to get him, it was never going to be today. But yeah, I agree. Lock him in. Stolen him.
When the Saints want a guy, they hold him hostage, and they will get them. So yes.
Well, then we must not like Drew Brees very much then, because he went to Miami after meeting with us.
Well, yeah, he kind of held the cards there, though.
Yeah. So understandably, guys, most folks who are Saints fans down here, I would say probably most Saints fans are LSU fans. Is that? You think that's a bold statement?
Yeah, the majority. I know there are some weird
a good
ones.
Number. Certainly you and I both are. We're big LSU guys.
Yeah.
We're both big fans of the Honey Badger. We both have watched him play in college. We're big fans of what he does. And we both think that he would be an addition to this team. The difference is I don't think there's any chance we get him. I think his price tag is going to be so exorbitant that he'd have to take a hometown discount for us. And no one does that.
Yeah. He's 29, so if I'm him...
Not necessarily long on the tooth, but he's replacing Malcolm Jenkins, who was 105.
Right, it's possible. I mean, you're looking at a 3-4 year deal for him, and that's probably his last contract. So I would be looking to try to, you know, cash in for sure and make some money for my family.
Exactly. If he's looking for retirement money, that's not what we're offering.
Right. But
then again, he's never buying himself dinner in the city of New Orleans ever again.
I mean,
if he plays for the Saints,
that's true.
He's already a hero down here. Everyone loves this guy.
That's absolutely true. Like all the free stuff you get for real. but more than that, man, like I think we need his leadership more than anything, because, you know, Marcus May, I mean, he's still a young, this by his second contract, if I'm not mistaken. Right. He's coming off ACL. I mean, I'm sorry, Achilles injury. I just think you need that presence where young guys could look to this a certain player and take their cues from him, study habits, workout habits, how you take care of your body, the things you care about. I learned so much from these interviews that Honey Badger did. And how he learned from Larry Fitzgerald and stuff like that. Like, these veterans mean a lot to young players. And so having a vet like that to pass stuff on to, man, it would be wonderful for our defense.
Yeah, you're 100% right, especially with both starting safeties now leaving.
Yes.
And a lot of youth being either already on the team or potentially being added in the draft. Having an elder statesman like Matthew, who is a very cerebral player. He's very hardworking. He's very dedicated. He's not a guy who's just got by an athletic ability. He's got by being the hardest worker in the room and being smarter and being in the right place at the right time. It's exactly the kind of voice you want in the locker room for a defense that is replacing both secondary spots in the safety. I just don't think we can afford him. And I want him so bad. I'm not a Jersey guy. I hate the idea of having to buy jerseys. I would buy this guy's jersey in a heartbeat.
Speaking
now,
of,
here's the question: would he take number 7?
Exactly.
From Jason Hill?
Exactly.
Taysom, that would be fun.
Taysom, fam, we love you, but
he's going to be a tight end anyway. You don't want to be a tight end number 7. Get him out of here.
Get out that 7, bro. Give that to Honey Badger, and it's going to be the number 1 jersey sold in New Orleans. I guarantee it.
In the state of Louisiana,
I'm telling you for sure. Absolutely.
You know what? Before we get off of free agents, the one thing I did want to touch on, Taco Charlton was a 2017 first round pick.
Yes.
And you know how much we love 2017 draft picks around here.
Man,
we are just primed for him to explode into his first round talent in a rotation with Peyton Turner and Marcus Davenport and Cam Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah. And also,
we don't even need safeties. The ball won't be, the quarterback won't have enough time to throw deep enough for a safety. If it's not slant, then he's getting sacked already. It doesn't matter.
Defensive line should be monsters.
Monsters.
And so, I guess the last part of news, we did see the Saints sign someone today.
Mm.
It wasn't the guy we were hoping for. It was.
But he's going to catch more. He will catch more passes than Tyrann Mathieu would.
That's right. JP Holtz, tight end.
I don't even think the guy makes the team. He's a camp body. Yeah. No offense to him. If for some reason you're listening to our dinky little podcast, then I'm a big fan of yours and let me get your autograph. Yeah. But if you're not listening, then yeah, he only really played games in 2019. He hasn't been in the league the last couple of years. He has 7 career catches for 91 yards. He's not found the end zone. He's a development guy. You know, you hope that you can get something out of him, but yeah, the hole at tight end is still there. Unless you think Taysom Hill's the guy, in which the hole is still there because he's still hurt.
They're going to go for it here on fourth down.
Moon Knight. Okay.
All right. Quick disclaimer on Moon Knight, right? We're doing another comic book show because we're complete nerds over here. But here's the thing. Nerd is mainstream now. So if you think that it's nerdy, that really makes you out of the loop.
Exactly.
And us, the cool guys. So,
get with it, people.
We're pretty cool over here, you know?
Get with it. So Moon Knight is another series starting on Disney Plus, and it's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew nothing about Moon Knight. I saw the little cover art and everything like that. I thought it was pretty cool. But yeah, I didn't know anything going into it. And so watching it, this is pretty interesting. I'm not saying the guy reminds me of Deadpool.
Can't help you
there. My God.
Yeah, Deadpool. Because he has voices in his head too?
Right, right.
You know, there are a few Deadpool Moon Knight team ups in the comics, actually. Okay. So that's funny.
Okay, okay. All right. So I guess those similarities kind of, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
There's enough Marvel characters that a couple of them are going to have similar characteristics.
Yeah.
So the big crack on Moon Knight for a long time was that he was kind of a Batman ripoff. Like Marvel kind of said, we need a Batman type character.
Okay.
But since then, they kind of expanded it and they've really given them this rich lore based around Egyptian mythology, which is super interesting in the first place. If you ever looked into the Egyptology. Right. And you know, their pantheon of gods and everything. It's really interesting stuff. It's a lot there. And they kind of just, you know, kind of the same way they did with Thor, they tied him into an existing mythology.
Okay.
And kind of gave all those options, you know, like mm-hmm. Wonder Woman and DC and all that. Mm-hmm. They tied him into this Egyptian pantheon and it has a lot of these different characters now. The villain in the show, for example, is an actual monster that's in their mythologies.
Right.
So it's not something they made up for the show. There's a lot of depth there if you're willing to get to it. For me, the first episode was very much a table setter.
Yeah,
you know, they didn't reveal a lot, but how much can you really dig into in the first episode?
Yeah, I mean, it was something that really kept me interested, and I asked a lot of questions, like, okay, why are you chaining yourself to the bed, bro? Like, what is the deal here? You know, and
you didn't figure out the multiple personalities thing like immediately.
No. Like later on, I did.
Dissociative identity disorder. I apologize to anyone who was offended by my mislabeling dissociative identity disorder, not multiple personalities. That is the incorrect phrasing. And if you say that, you should be ashamed.
This is
Disney. I got to be careful how I talk.
I did kind of like the whole scarab thing. I was into Blue Beetle with.
I was gonna say there's a lot of a Blue Beetle vibe where he's got the voice in his head. He's got a scarab.
Right. Yes.
There's a superpower attached to him, but he can't control it.
Yes.
But it's talking to him.
Absolutely. I
very much felt like that was a Jaime Reyes kind of Blue Beetle reference.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you know, Marvel, DC, they're clearly not related, but I think might have been borrowing a little bit. Like kind of the incarnation of Blue Beetle from Young Justice, if you ever watched that.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a little bit of that Blue Beetle in this Moon Knight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. But I'm always excited to see how a character will fit into the rest of the MCU to deal with other characters and everything like that.
Yeah, I think they had said that this series at least was going to be pretty self-contained.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, if he's successful, obviously they're going to want to put him in more stuff. How did you feel about the whole multiple personalities aspect that, you know, he doesn't know what's going on. So he blacks out and you miss what the actual action is. And you're following the least interesting character on the show.
Well, I mean, to me, that's the one you want to follow. Right. So to keep this mystery going and have you wondering, you know, what exactly is this guy's deal? And especially like when he comes back too, and everybody's looking at him like, oh my God, this guy is dangerous. Keep away. And he's looking at his hand like, I'm sorry. or whatever.
I thought the bit where his hand was instinctively keeping the scarab away from the guy, I thought that was kind of silly.
Yeah. But, you know,
what are you going to do? I mean, there's only so many ways you can write that kind of a scene.
Right.
You
know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So was it Dr. Doom's castle?
I'm just saying.
So. Was he in Latvia? Was that a Dr. Doom reference? I mean, it says Von Doom on a box car that he steals. Yeah, with the cupcake truck.
Right.
So I'm just saying the pieces are there. As I tie red string around pictures on my wall, the pieces are all adding up. Dr. Doom is the real villain.
Yeah.
Hey, straight up, that'd be cool. I would be very on board with that.
It would be.
They got to save him for the Fantastic Four. There's no way we see him before them.
I mean, they introduce people like pretty much like all the time. It doesn't necessarily have to be in that particular movie or whatever. Like there probably have been some X-Men already introduced, right? And we hadn't really seen the X-Men yet, so.
Have any X-Men been introduced? They haven't really touched on mutants yet. I thought maybe that would be, one of the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness kind of tie-ins is the.
Yeah,
the,
I mean, like, shouldn't Wanda's.
Being an extra dimension.
Shouldn't Wanda's kids be considered mutants? They were just born with these
powers. Oh, are we going to talk about WandaVision right now? Because I don't even know if that cat. She made those kids up. How could they be mutants if she imagined them?
They're real.
Are they?
Yes.
I don't even think they're real. I think they're imaginations. And now we're fighting about WandaVision, a show that came out last year.
Yeah. I know for sure that they're going to plan on using those kids for like a Young Avengers or something like that.
Well, I think the kids must exist in the wider universe because they're Wanda's motivation, I think, in the Doctor Strange. Has that come out yet? I would assume that.
Doctor Strange hadn't come out yet. No.
Okay, yeah. I think that's her, those kids must exist because I think that's going to be her motivation to being the villain in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because she has to be, right? She's the most powerful character. But, you know, we're getting a little deep in the weeds here. We're talking about Moon Knight, and now I'm arguing about how powerful Wanda Maximoff is.
I mean,
what am we doing? What are we doing here? This is a Saints podcast. This is a Saints podcast. Wandering. I told y'all this is 9.5%. By the time we got to fourth down, it was going to be silly. Now we are silly.
So yeah, man. Let us know what you're thinking about Moon Knight. Did we really see Dr. Doom reference or what? You know. So hit us
Find
up
us on Twitter.
Twitter.
Donate to our GoFundMe, OnlyFans, MySpace, PayPal only jar account.
That's right.
And content. Then we'll have enough money to make these shows free for everybody like the way they are now. So. All right. Well, for me, the California Cajun, for my good friend here, Lil Dice, have a drink. It's on me.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs@icloud.com.
13, Eastside Soldier, Press Ball 17, represent the NO, because that's where we be. You know who it is. It's us, SFB. Show much love from the 13th to the 9th.
It's New Orleans, really.
All the time.
The city of New Orleans, number one, no doubt.